Pop Spotting 137.
Tuesday, September 27th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's TV Tuesday, and this week we're going to loosen up our format a little bit, and we're going to talk about what we're watching.
Yeah, it's what's on with Jen and Ryan, perhaps, or if you watch a frame rate, it's our Tube Tops format. Basically, we're going to be covering the new shows that we're trying out, definitely returning shows that we love, and eventually our take on shows, new or old, that you have told us to try.
We know that not everyone watches the same things we do, and we'll probably like a lot of things that most of you hate, but we want to really try to have a good mix and keep it moving, so you'll hopefully get something out of our chats.
Yeah, and if not, of course, you can help us make it better. We're going to start watching some of the shows you've picked out for us, and we're open to more, so always write in.
So let's start with some first impressions. These are just absolutely premature judgments on new shows coming up this fall, and then we'll catch up briefly on some of our favorites already in progress, including Fringe, Breaking Bad, and Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I can't wait for that, but as we covered last week, there's a lot of new TV out there, so we did catch some of those premieres, some of those pilots. I do have to say that this year, thanks to this podcast, thanks to great listeners like Daniel, who sent us the list, and Stefan Dez, and other TV fanatics like Jopinionated, we've never watched so many new shows before.
We haven't
actually gone out of our way to watch shows that I think we would automatically discount, sometimes for good reason, but we're going to do this. It may not be pretty, but it's us. What can I say? And we'll start with Two Broke Girls. This was Monday nights on CBS. We saw the first episode only. What did you think of this series?
So are we doing this letter grades?
Sure, we can score them, give them a grade.
Okay, Two Broke Girls, D.
Okay, so you're not a fan of this show.
No, I'm not. The premise, it's been done 1,000 times. It's basically an Odd Couple scenario where Kat Dennings plays a really smart, streetwise girl with a big mouth, and she has to work in this diner with a girl who is an heiress, but her father got in trouble, and she's now forced to work in a diner because the family is broke. And the show is just full of very stereotypical cliched characters, yeah, like the sassy wise black man and the Asian restaurant owner who, yeah, can't speak English very well and he's very clueless. And I just thought the whole thing was just so cliched and stereotypical.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of Kat Dennings. I think she can do a lot. I just felt that there were so many things wrong. I mean, yes, a pilot is just the first try. The actors have to find their legs, and you know, there's a lot of room. You should give them a lot of room, but I can't see how this can get too much better. For example, the pacing, the timing is just awkward. They instead of the Seinfeldian, you know, poppity boop boop music, they do this guitar riff and they just throw it in there because it sounds like they were too lazy to write how a scene should end. So they just cut and they move. And again, I agree, it's very cliched. The chemistry between Kat Dennings and the blonde is not bad, and I do think that they might be able to go somewhere with the relationship with the two of them. But already these side characters, like the Asian shopkeeper, is so bad that I can't take
bordering
the show seriously.
On racist.
I think there's a lot of problems with it. So not a winner necessarily. How about Free Agents, the show on NBC Wednesday nights? It had Hank Azaria in it. How would you grade that one?
C-.
Okay, at least you liked it a little bit better?
Possibly. It has potential. The only problem with the show is its premise. I think the show is about an ex-boyfriend and an ex-girlfriend who work together in the same office, and they each have relationship issues. They both have personal issues, and it's about them trying to decide what their relationship is. Are they romantic? Are they friends? And with this kind of show, you don't really know where it's going to go and how it's going to end, because either they decide that they're a couple, or they decide that this is a really bad idea and they stop seeing each other completely and start seeing other people. And either way, how is the show going to sustain itself?
Well, that's interesting. I thought that the premise was pretty interesting. You know, you look at a show like Moonlighting, where the whole show, the entire series is will they or won't they? There's this tension. And then, of course, when they do, that kind of ruins the tension and ruins the show. This show starts at that point that they've slept together and it turns out that it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, they're not ready for relationships, they're not right for each other necessarily, and, you know, how that is managed. And I do think that the chemistry between Hank Azaria and Catherine Hahn is pretty darn good. I really have to admit, I think that Hank Azaria is at a completely different level than Han, but he's enjoyable just to watch because of his style, because of the way he delivers lines. It is good writing, it is good humor, but I do think that they can drag it out without it getting too tedious in terms of, because I can say everyday life, people who keep ending up together even though they know they're wrong for each other, and I think that they can milk something out of that. And I do like that the office environment that they're in, they work for a PR firm, and I think that some of the storylines are going to be more focused on this office, this workplace, these somewhat interesting other characters, and some of the things that they have to do as a PR firm. You know, how do they spin an E. coli outbreak as a good thing for school children or something like that.
If this show becomes closer to Sports Night, where the relationship between the two leads is kind of secondary to the story of what's going on at work, that could be more interesting. I think if we focus too much on the romantic relationship between Azaria and Han's characters, it really could flounder.
I can see that. I just think that this show has much more room to grow, much more potential. It's not like this shallow little petri dish that they're trying to squeeze two broke girls out of. And some of these other characters could go somewhere. You've got Anthony Stewart Head, you know, Xander from Buffy. Mm-hmm. We don't see him too much, but I think that he could be great.
He could be like an evil boss, which could be really entertaining, like Michael Scott or even Kevin Spacey's character in Horrible Bosses.
Yeah, I can see that for sure.
But another character, there's another pseudo Barney Stinson. You know, ever since How I Met Your Mother got famous, every show has to have one of those douchebaggy guys, you know, and it's just that this show has one of those, and it's just so overdone. It's really boring.
Well, so I think they can grow beyond that. I do think Free Agents is worth at least a couple of more episodes to see how it grows. Over on Fox, the one that you were kind of dreading with Zooey Deschanel, that gives us New Girl Tuesday nights tonight, actually. How did you like this series? not a fan. Another D?
I don't know. I don't want to bag on Zooey too much because she's probably a really nice person, but her characters are all alike. She's just this free-spirited, quirky, flaky girl who sings, and I don't know, maybe if I saw her in some other kind of role I would warm up to her, but this is exactly the kind of person that she always plays.
Right, I can see that. And you know, it's a sitcom, unfortunately, and I keep feeling that we're beyond the world of Friends, you know, that you've got a living room, you've got her and her three roommates, and they've all got issues and specific quirks and phobias and problems that they're going to be able to make fun of on a weekly basis. You know, Big Bang Theory might have a similar setup, but they're smart writing, and again, it's very nerd friendly, so there's kind of a way to go. I don't know if Zooey the show is enough to carry a series.
I don't think so.
And I did see a little glimmer of hope. You know, they're all broken people. They're all going to eventually love each other and help each other in their times of need. That might be interesting, and I think, you know, Zooey has some interesting friends. One problem is that I thought Damon Wayans was kind of cool as one of the roommates, as Coach, but it turns out he only existed in the pilot. He's going to get written out. There's going to be a new character tonight to replace him, and so already there's this major shift in the chemistry, and I'm kind of with you. This might be done to death, both the roles that she plays and, you know, being broken up and spending days on the couch watching Dirty Dancing and crying the whole time, you know? I just don't know. It didn't really win me over. Let's try Thursday on NBC. We watched the first episode of Prime Suspect with Maria Bello. How did you like this show?
Solid B.
Yeah, I really liked it. I think it's got legs, despite the fact that it is such a conventional police procedural in many, many ways. But despite that wrapping, despite that format, I think that Maria Bello and the characters and the story look strong.
I think it could be a procedural, but I think it might go beyond that too, because we really do see a lot of Jane Timoney's social life and her home life. She has a father who's trying to quit smoking, and they're trying to quit smoking together, and she's got addiction issues. She has relationship issues. And I think if they can balance the procedural part with a really interesting character study of Jane Timoney, it could be really good.
And I like Jane as a character. Now, of course, this is based on a BBC series, so maybe that's why. But I do agree that she's three-dimensional. She's totally flawed. She's not someone you actually like as a person. She does, I mean, she makes a strategic political job move in a very inopportune time in the police station. And it seems like, wow, what what a ham-handed, what a indelicate move. I mean, there's so many things that you can dislike about her. I like that she gets her butt kicked. I like that she's not always going to come out on top in a fight. I mean, there are many ways that I think this could be interesting. I love her taste in hats, you know. I expect her to break out into a jazz dance number, and everybody just deals with it because it's her strong personality.
Yeah, she's bossy, and she's kind of rude, and she often doesn't really know the right things to say. And I really enjoyed the scene at the end of the pilot where she has her showdown with her boyfriend's ex, and you know, she's really smart, and you can tell that she's been thinking about this problem she's having with this woman through the entire episode, and the way she handles it was kind of made me cheer.
Yeah, and meanwhile, you know, she does figure out crimes, she does ask questions. It is set up purely as a woman in a man's world, and again, I think that they don't want to harp on that too much. It could be cliche, but I think it's the performances, I think it's the characters that's going to save this show. I mean, some of the other people are really good as well.
Aidan Quinn plays her boss. Mm-hmm. Kenny Johnson from Sons of Anarchy plays her boyfriend. Oh, and Kirk Acevedo from Fringe, he was Charlie. He's her coworker.
Yeah, it's a whole series of Hey, It's That Guy guys. Great casting, and I think the chemistry could really work. I'm pretty sure that Prime Suspect is something we're going to stay subscribed
for
to.
For sure.
Well, I think that's a great high point to end this new show First Impressions segment of TV Tuesday, because there are some other low points coming up, some other new shows that we still have to watch, and I'll save that for next TV Tuesday. For the second half of this podcast, I really wanted to get back to returning shows, favorite shows that are coming back or just getting started that we love, and we have to start. We've got to start with Fringe. Season 4, Episode 1. How'd you like that?
I am so stoked about this show. It's just consistently surprising and fascinating, and it takes a lot of chances. I mean, we are now in a universe where one of the main characters does not exist
and never existed.
Right. I mean, we really know that all of these characters now have a really big hole in their lives, but they're not really sure what that is, and their backstories now are just a tiny little bit different, and it's mind-bending, and it's brilliant.
Well, no disagreement here. I think it's brilliant as well. I do think that it's gutsy. I do think they're taking chances. In fact, what we're looking at here is a J.J. Abrams-esque reboot, you know, which can confound people, frustrate people, or completely blow their minds in a good way. I can't wait to see. I still have high hopes that it's going to be in a good way here. I do think that they're kind of walking that fine line that even Lost, people said Lost was walking, that if you're going to pretend that the last X seasons didn't happen and everything is different, then what was the point of watching those three seasons? So I do think that what the show is kind of doing is it's doubling down on the longer arc, and it's saying, hey, now to really understand what's important, you have to have watched the show and understand what's changed. You know, I think that's kind of gutsy. It makes it more of a serial story, so you can't just jump in. Yet, this first episode kind of feels like Monster of the Week again. It did bring me back to season one, and I think that they're going to revisit, as they did here, familiar stories, because they're going to have to maybe reinvent the wheel and go through some of these same mysteries.
I like the Monster of the Week formula, but this particular monster that we explored in the first episode is familiar,
right?
And I think it's really tying into the overall story, and that's what I enjoy about Fringe, is that it looks like it's just the Monster of the Week, but it's not really.
And I do think that they're moving in the natural next direction after we learned about two different universes, and here it's how they work together or not work together, how they trust or not trust each other. Mm-hmm. It gives Olivia, the character, the actress, Anna Torv, an opportunity to play opposite herself, and that's probably going to happen more. I hope that it doesn't go too gimmicky, but I do think that's interesting, and this new kind of reimagined Walter Bishop is fantastic, even more compelling.
He's even more unstable and even more disturbed in this role. I loved John Noble as Walternet. I loved him in his previous incarnation as Walter, but I think this role for him is really something special, because it's really walking a fine line.
And he's going to be working much more closely, it looks, with Jessica Nicole, you know, Astrid, and that's fantastic. I'd like to see more of her.
I love Astrid.
And of course, we have a new character, kind of an old character, new character returning as a regular, and I think that he's going to have good chemistry with Olivia.
Yeah, Seth Gable as Lincoln Lee, who previously existed only in the other world, and now he's in this world, and there are things that are familiar, and there are things that are different, and again, it's just really guiding. gutsy, and I can't wait to see what they do with Lincoln Lee in particular.
Well, I think what I feel now more strongly than ever with season 4 of Fringe is that it is officially grabbing the mantle that was held by Lost in terms of complex, sci-fi-backed, personality-driven, character-driven drama. I think that they're going unabashedly into the world of mysteries and conspiracies. I think we're going to see more of the observers. We're going to see more of machinations and people who know things that don't know other things. I mean, Michael Giacchino's music was so prominent in this first episode.
It was wonderful,
but it felt so much like Lost. The strings, the thuds, the mm-hmm. big reveals. So I think that, I mean, I love it. I think that it might turn some people off. I don't know if everyone's going to be fully on board with them starting to play in this way, but after Lost and the Dharma Initiative and all of that, I am fully on board so far for season 4 of Fringe. A show that's been underway for much longer, it's still in a new season though, is Sons of Anarchy. We've devoted an entire show to it, but how do you like how this season is going, especially after last season's adventures across Ireland?
It's starting out pretty strong. I wasn't crazy about all the things that happened in Ireland because it got a little weird, so it's really good to have them home, whereas previously, the show was about how the club related to the Russians or the IRA and their dealings. Now, it's really about how these people are dealing with each other, like Gemma's fascination with these letters and the drug deals that are going down and Jack's looking to get out of the club. It's really fracturing all the relationships within the club, and there's now tension between all of these people who are so close, and I think it's written amazingly well.
Yeah, I mean, I do agree that I'd much rather see how these people, this family, deal with each other than how they deal with the outside world, and the Ireland storyline was just too big and too many broad strokes. Here it's much more subtle. The relationship between Gemma and Clay and how you think that Gemma has this power and this strength, and no, it turns out that Clay still has a very clear idea of what Gemma's place is, for example.
Yeah, that last scene after the vote was taken when Gemma gets in Clay's face about the decision that they made, and it really completely changed the way I saw their relationship and the looks on the faces of the rest of the club as they came out of the house. It was so breathtaking because now you know that everything is changing.
Absolutely. I mean, that split of the club, the fact that people know Jax well enough that they know something's up and how it's being torn apart from this decision, these dealings, these schemes that the club is making, you know, are they living up to the legacy and the history and all of that? I do like how it's playing out. There are some new characters. I think both of them I'm taking some time to get used to. You've got Lieutenant Eli Roosevelt, played by Rockman Dunbar. You mean a character and I would say a color that was much needed in this world. So I think that might be where some of the casting can come from, and I'm still not really sure of what his character means and what it's going to be all about.
I don't really understand this character at all. On one hand, he pretends to be a purely law and order kind of guy, and then on the other hand, he goes and he trashes the clubhouse, and I'm not really sold on Dunbar yet. I think it's a bit much.
Well, on the other hand, he does replace Unser, you know, the old sheriff, and mm-hmm. I think that where Unser has gone this season is really interesting. Very dark, very lost, and I think that the relationship he has with Gemma is fascinating. I want to kind of see where they go with him. And then finally, you've got the new character, the new DA, Lincoln Potter, the actor
played by Ray McKinnon.
Ray McKinnon, I don't know what's going on. I mean, for the first time I met him, I was sure that he was wrong for the show, wrong tone, wrong everything. He's just playing like Dennis Leary or something, but he's starting to grow on me, but he's much more quirky than I would have expected.
I just kind of have a feeling we're going to find out something about Lincoln Potter that comes completely out of left field that we're not really expecting.
Yeah, I mean, he is interesting, and so I'm certainly on board. I do like that they're back home, like you said. I do like that we're back focusing on this club. I like that it's dark and there's more violence and stuff, but there's some really interesting humor in the show. I mean, some things that have made me laugh out loud this season.
Yeah, the club goes to shake down this lady. She's gardening, but she's also a drug dealer, and her sons are named Luther and Vandross.
Yes, exactly. Or I mean, even Gemma has done some things that are almost madcap, you know, ridiculous, dumb things that lead to some hilarious moments. So on all levels, Sons of Anarchy still still has us hooked in season four. And I think we've got room for one more favorite returning show, also in its fourth season, actually almost done with its fourth season, another favorite, Breaking Bad on AMC. How do you think season four is going?
This isn't my favorite season so far, but before I tell you why that is, I'll just tell you the highlights. I think Gus Fring is my favorite all-time Breaking Bad character.
For sure.
I find myself cheering for him. He's supposed to be the bad guy. He's supposed to be the person that is ruining Walter White's life. But you know what? After seeing his backstory, after what Stephen Bauer did to his partner, I'm really cheering for him. And to me, Gus's backstory is the highlight of the season. And in the scene where he walks into the lab in front of Jesse and Walt and kills one of his lackeys and calmly gets dressed and walks out, that was a brilliant scene on so many levels, not just because of the way Giancarlo Esposito plays it, but also because of the way Bryan Cranston and Aaron Paul play it.
Well, that was early in the season, and it had a very strong impression. I agree, unforgettable, total silence, no dialogue except get back to work, you know.
Right.
Really strong scenes like that. It's been a very simmering, intense season. A lot of that pondering and thinking. I do believe, though, that this is the slowest season of Breaking Bad. I'm not going to go as far as to compare it to the first half of season three of Lost, but I do think that them announcing recently that there's only going to be 16 more episodes of this show, I think that's important, because I do think that we can only take so much of this kind of ponderous darkness. One of my favorite tweets about Breaking Bad this season is, I didn't know that when they said it was going to be more dark, they meant more hardcore car wash management. Because there is a little bit more of these distracting other things in the season that I think we can do without.
Ted and Skyler are boring as hell, and they have nothing to do with the story. Skyler only tangentially has something to do with her husband's business, and the fact that she gave money to Ted really has nothing to do with what's going on with Walt and Jesse and Gus, and I just really could have used less of them.
Well, I do feel bad for those characters. I feel bad for Marie. I think Hank has had a good season. He started from a very weak place, a very lost place, and he's kind of redeemed himself very gradually. I think that was well done. And I do think that they did spend enough time dealing with the aftermath of what Jesse did at the end of season three. It's not just something that he can get over. It did have long-term effects. I did like that they spent several episodes where he had to fill his house with complete strangers simply because he didn't want to be alone. But he never articulated that. It was never, you know, nobody had this big psychoanalysis session with him. It was just clear that he was not ready to be by himself. And I do think that this big showdown between Gus and the cartel in Mexico and trying to separate Jesse and Hank, that great, great twist that Gus pulled at the end of last week's episode.
Oh my gosh.
Awesome. I mean, I do have to say that several times this season it would close, you know, we'd see that title card at the end, and I was like, that was pretty good, and it must be setting up something big for next week. I mean, it felt so much like Lost in that way,
yeah.
And sometimes it didn't give us that. It was only recently where things happened, and so that I think that, again, this has not been the strongest season of Breaking Bad, but is still fantastic television.
It's pretty much 10 times better than anything else on TV.
Agreed. And we are out of time, but that was TV Tuesday. We covered some new shows and some returning favorites. We're going to do the exact same thing next week. A few more new series that we're catching up with, and of course some returning shows. I think we got to cover NBC comedies, for example. Office, Parks and Recreation, Community. I think we want to talk about Archer, one of the FX comedies that John Norton told us about. So again, that's next TV Tuesday. But leading up to that, we want to hear your thoughts on these new shows, your thoughts on these returning shows. Do you love Breaking Bad Season 4 more than we do? I think you might, so get in touch. You can leave a comment on our blog at popspotting.net. You can drop us a line via email at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can leave a voicemail, and we do love the voicemails, at 815-310-0808.
You can also connect with us at facebook.com/popspotting or twitter.com/popspotting.
Now, if you're in a giving mood, we would love it if you'd introduce your TV and movie-loving friends to our show. And if you have a moment, you could post a review of Pop Spotting in the iTunes podcast directory. It's a great way to help grow our little Ohana.
tune in tomorrow for Wildcard Wednesday when we share more of our favorite iPhone apps.
Yeah, we both are going to make a top five, and they're not all going to be photography apps. We want to say thanks to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song. And we want to say mahalo a nui loa to you for listening.
For Pop Spotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.